You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to On the Couch,
On the Couch
with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
We do say what we want. Good morning, everybody. It's Dr. Michelle with you on the couch. Welcome to my couch. Come on down. I got a great show today. This is going to be awesome. Thank you so much for listening to me every Friday here at LA Talk Radio. Live at 11 o'clock in the morning. And of course, the good news is you get to download and replay and all that stuff. It's great to have you with me. Kind of digging on the music this morning. Oh, yeah. And by the way, if you'd like to email me, you can find me at Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle at AOL.com. I'd love to hear from you. It'd be really awesome. That'd be really nice. Also, if you want to call me live on the air, the number here in Los Angeles is 323-203-0815. That's live on the air. The number is 323-203-0815. Oh, sing it, baby. I love that song. Kind of gets you into the Friday morning there. DocMichelle at AOL.com. Now you can check out my website as well. It's Dr. Michelle Therapy. And it's Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. And then you can find me there and, you know, a little bit of information about what I'm about. I try to make positive life changes in people's lives. And I'm creating a book right now. It's called Helping You Detox the Drama from Your Life. And, you know, the big thing now is detoxing from everything, right? Might as well detox from the drama because, boy, we all have it. And that's what's going to get us healthy, is getting out of those cycles of crazy drama. And, you know, that's most of who I deal with are people who are having relationship issues. I work with a lot of young adults and teens and helping them manage their issues, too. So that's what I'm about. And today, we're on the couch with a couple of special guests who I found on the street here near our new studios in beautiful downtown Studio City. They're Dave and Michael. Dave and Mike, hi, how are you guys?
Hi.
Hi, that's Dave. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. And I'm lying, I actually didn't find them on the street. These are really some nice guys who I know, teenagers, who I borrowed for the day. Actually, they're ditching school today. No, I'm kidding. They're out of school today, so don't freak out, anybody. I wouldn't do that. And we're just talking about what's going on with teenagers, what kind of issues they're having, what kind of problems they're having, and the stuff they're going through. So parents, if you're totally fahutzed with your teenagers and they're driving you crazy and you just want to get rid of them, smack them around. No, I'm kidding. We're going to find out. I'm going to ask them some direct questions. And it could get scary, but no, they're looking at me like, you're crazy, Dr. Michelle. But if you'd like to ask them questions or call in, you can do so on the air live at 323-203-0815. All right. So, guys, how you doing? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
That's good.
I just had my extra cup of coffee, so I'm you know, it's kicking in right now, so I'm feeling a little bit better. So we're going to be talking about, I don't know, what's going on with you guys? You know, a lot of parents are always with their teens asking questions, right? Your mom and dad, how's it going? How's school? And you guys answer with, it's fine. How's your classes? Fine. So what's going on with your friends? What are you doing? Nothing, right?
Exactly.
Drives your parents crazy, right? They want more information. They want to find out. The reality is there's really not that much going on. So there's really not that much to talk about, right? And you're not going to tell them a lot of your own stuff going in inside because you're going to talk to your friends if you're working out issues and stuff like that, correct, usually?
Yeah,
okay, see. Am I on the right track here? Am I getting it?
Yeah.
Okay,
good.
Anyway, Let's jump right into it. I want to put you guys on the spot because it's one of my favorite things is putting teens, young adults, on the spot. The problem is they're usually smarter than me, and they make me feel really strange and they turn it around. So you can do that too. Let's talk about, this is a free-for-all, guys, so you can just share and ask me questions too. You know, and feel free to do that. I would love that. So let's just jump right into it. Okay, let's talk about some of the dumb things that some of your friends are doing at school. I won't be intrusive yet about your own stuff. But
what do you mean by dumb?
Dumb? I don't know. Risky behaviors. You've heard of at-risk teens, at-risk people, you know, who are out there doing crazy things like the drugs and the sex and the, you know, all the stuff that they've been doing that's kind of scary. Oh, boy. Look at the look in your eyes, kid. Mm-mm. Anyway, I don't know. I thought just kind of share with us some things that kind of blow you away that you'd never do that some of your friends are doing that are kind of freaky out there.
Well, very recently at our school, an old friend of mine, Matt Corbier, he graduated from our school. He passed away last weekend.
Whoa, I'm sorry. Yeah. Michael. Mm-hmm. What from?
He was on drugs, driving, running away from the police, and he crashed, going extremely fast, and
died. Oh my God, scary stuff. He was a friend of yours, huh?
I hadn't talked to him in about a year, but yeah, I was friends with him when he went to our school.
What kind of drugs was he using?
Cocaine, I believe.
Yeah, so he was literally speeding.
Yeah,
and crashed. That's really sad. Now that's a scary thing. I hear these stories a lot. You know, Hulk Hogan's son, right? I mean, he was full-blown, supposedly, alcoholic. I mean, the poor guy, you know, he had problems. They didn't get him into any substance abuse program, and he just crashed totally, killed a couple of guys. One guy's in a coma. There's a lawsuit against the family. So maybe it's not common, but I think we hear about it more than we really want to hear about it. So that's crazy. That's really scary stuff. Is that kind of a heads up then for you guys? I mean, when you think, oh, crap, I'm not doing that. I'd never do that.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
It just makes us realize how real it all is.
You know, yeah.
A problem a lot of teenagers have is, you know, a lot of them think they're invincible. And, you know, that could never happen to me when they show us videos and stuff. And,
right.
You know, it actually happening to one of your friends makes you realize we're not as invincible as we think we are.
Oh, that's really profound, Michael. You know, that's the thing. I mean, what they teach us, you know, in school when we're learning about, you know, stages of development and everything. That's one of the biggies is, and I've been there too. And I still feel that. No, but we are invisible. Not invisible. Invincible. That's the word. That was the opposite that I said because there's another thing called the imaginary audience with teens. Have you heard of that one?
No.
That's a phase that just kind of says, everybody's looking at me. Should I have to wear the right clothes? I have to look, you know, really good or just look a certain way? And because all these people are really watching me and noticing me, you know? And the truth is people usually don't care that much and they're so worried about themselves that they're not really looking at all of us. They're just really worried about everybody else looking at them. So Dave, tell me about some of the kind of dumb and kind of odd things that you've seen in your school that some friends have done.
Well, I go to a high school where it's a very rich school. You know, parents are very wealthy and they give their kids a lot of money. Mm. And kids take that money and they go buy drugs with it and stuff. So it's a very drug-filled school.
Yeah.
So
that's sad. That's too bad.
Going from
where the norm is to more kids do drugs than don't.
So you think in a wealthy school, they're a lot more available?
It's much more accessible.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Okay, because you hear all these stories about the inner city kids and how they're like, you know, all high all the time.
Right.
And those are the bad schools. But
it's right there in the suburbs.
You're saying the upscale.
Because,
yeah.
You know, kids have the money. Like, they have the access and the parents don't ask.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to go buy drugs, you know.
It's like, here's $100, take the BMW and get out of my hair kind of
pretty
thing.
Much.
Well, yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Wow. So what kind of drugs are being used?
Obviously, you know, you have your weed, you know. And
yeah.
Occasionally, depending on the person, coke. And, you know, I mean, kids try shrooms. They do stuff like that. And I don't know.
What about meth? Is that a biggie in your school?
No.
What about heroin?
No.
Really?
No, the hard drugs don't get into our area a lot.
Really?
There's been like a couple cases of heroin.
Twice a year.
Yeah. So we're talking, the biggies are pot and coke, probably, huh?
Coke's not even that big, but pot is.
Yeah. Probably pot and shrooms.
Yeah.
Shrooms, okay. So what's the deal? So shrooms is like, any of you guys tried shrooms ever?
No.
Good. Okay, you guys tried pot ever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you think? You like it?
Not
really. Your mom's listening, Michael. No, I'm kidding. What about you, David?
Have I tried pot?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Okay. What do you think?
First time I tried it, it didn't really like it. I got a stomach ache. And I tried it another time, and I enjoyed it a lot. But, you know, it's not like, you know, you're going to do it, you know? It's like,
yeah.
It's stupid to do. It's an idiotic thing
necessary.
To do, you know?
Yeah.
Because it throws off your body, it throws off you mentally, throws you off spiritually and emotionally, and it's just not worth it.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd thing, huh?
You know, everything in moderation at the same time.
Right, right.
But some things in moderation less than others.
So. Okay, right. How about alcohol? You guys partake in that ever?
Yeah.
It's high school.
But never to a crazy extent.
No, the Calabasas extent. But
so you guys are into moderation, huh? You guys are into kind of watching it. You've tried some stuff, but you know that because you've seen friends get into trouble and, you know, accidents and make assholes out of themselves and things like that, that you guys wouldn't do that.
We're smart enough to realize that it's just high school and that you don't need to be doing crazy things You know, right now the main objective is to just get through and, you know, help yourself to become as successful as you can. And
yeah, that's great. No, I love this. This is great. This is good information. So thank you for being so candid, for sharing this stuff with me, guys.
Oh,
thank
you're
you for
welcome.
Being so, and my audience, because they, you know, that we're all learning here. We're all understanding.
I talked to my parents about it, so it's fine.
You're pretty open. They're pretty open with you.
Yeah, though.
Oh, that's good. That's cool. That's nice to hear. It's really important to have parents who can, you know, I have this whole thing. I work with parents who have teens, and I teach them kind of how to talk to their teens and how to, you know, just kind of have open communication and not judge. And I tell them not to do the three C's. You know what the three C's are, guys? Okay. One, you guys are communicating through hand signals. What does that mean? What are you talking about? Oh, anyway, it's all right. The three C's, do not cut in. When your kids are talking, listen, okay? These are communication skills. Don't command them. Don't criticize. You know, as soon as they walk in the door, right? Do you get this from your parents? As soon as you walk in the door, God, you're late. Where have you been? What are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right? Sort of,
kind of. And cutting off. You're starting to say
off,
a sentence.
Yeah.
And they're going, have you been smoking? Did you wear that shirt up? So I guess what I'm leading to is my next question I wanted to ask you. What things make you really upset or angry that your parents do?
Religion.
Really? Tell me about
Religion's
that.
Religion's just, I'm Jewish, but I don't really truly believe in the whole Judaism. You know, like, according to my parents, God forbid that I have a different belief than they do.
Right.
You know, I think Judaism instills good values. I respect its values, but I just... You know, I don't believe in the whole parting of the sea, and like I get the metaphors that are presented by each of the stories. But
right, right.
I just think all religions are typically the same thing, and you know they all just present the same values. And sure, I'll raise my kids to be Jewish, but I'm not going to force them to go to temple if they don't believe in it. You know, I'm not going to force them to believe in it. It's whatever they choose to believe in. That's you know
right.
what they should believe in.
Okay, so it's kind of a heavy thing. Is the religion with you, Michael? Did you have a good fast? Did you fast?
No, I did not.
Okay. All right. That's all right. I mean, you know, it's okay if you are cool and your parents have an understanding and they know your points of view and all that. So, I mean, it helps. It really helps. I think that's a common thing that I hear, you know, with kids who are older, teens, young adults. and their parents is, you know, the religion thing is kind of heavy sometimes. And they you know, they're forming new opinions and they have some of their own spiritual ideas and stuff like that. So it's kind of an interesting thing. We have a call coming in. Do you guys want to answer it, see who it is?
Sure.
I don't know. Let's go for it. Let's see if we can get this call up. Hey, hi, you're on live on the air on LA Talk Radio. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. Are you there?
Yes, I am here. Sorry about that.
Hi, who's this?
This is Kendrick Bravenel. I'm a student that goes to Calabasas High School.
Hey, nice to talk to you. What you doing?
I'm actually listening to your radio show right now, and I know the two people that are actually on your show.
Oh, are they good people? Tell me.
They are very good people.
Oh, good, good. I'm really glad that you cleared them for me, Ken. It's nice to have you with me. Colin?
Yes, Colin.
Oh, thank you for calling in, Colin. Colin,
no problem.
Is Colin. So what's going on, man? Do you have a question for any of our guests, or you want to make a comment, or you want to add to anything that you heard a little bit earlier?
I actually have a similar story.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say hi, Dave and Michael. They're very close friends, very good friends of mine.
Hey, Colin.
How's it going?
And then one other thing. So I have a story similar, not as bad, but yeah, slightly similar.
Okay.
I have a close friend. Who actually one day was driving people one night to a party and with people in his car, and he was meeting up with us.
Yeah.
And he had people in his car and he was speeding a little bit.
Yeah.
And like not too bad fast. And he actually got pulled over, like only going like 10 miles over the speed limit, I think, with people in his car, but his year wasn't up.
Uh-huh.
So it was like kind of a, you know, bad situation. And the thing was, earlier he had like a sip of alcohol or like two.
Yeah.
Like nothing, he wasn't drinking, right. Like a sip or something.
Right, right.
And he got pulled over and he was totally fine to drive. He wasn't affected at all.
Right.
But when he got there, the cop pulled him over and asked if anyone was drinking because he thought he smelled alcohol.
Yeah.
And so the cop let him off because, you know, it wasn't a big deal, but, you know, that could have been a really bad situation.
Yeah, exactly. Did he give him a breath test or anything?
Yes, he did, but it came up negative.
Oh, good,
but he just knew. Yeah.
Okay.
And I actually came down to meet my friend there where the cop was there to make sure he was okay and everything was fine. The cop didn't like that, though.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really, you know, it's kind of scary, I guess, for the guy, huh? Do you think it taught him anything, like to not drink before he gets behind the wheel again?
Oh, yeah. I think he was very affected. I don't think he's going to do that again.
Yeah, that's good. That's something to think about. Because it's really important. How are you like really, you're into that, you're hip to that, so you wouldn't do that or anything, Colin, right?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. So, you know, now that we have Colin on the phone, we can all share here. Colin, tell me about some of the things that make you really angry that your parents do.
My parents?
Yeah.
Well, my parents are actually very kind
to
me when it comes to time. I'm very pleased with my parents.
They're right there, aren't they, Colin? They're sitting right there listening, aren't they?
The one thing, I guess, would be I'm in them during the music.
Yes.
And I'm a good musician, and my parents are very supportive of that.
Good.
And they realize that, and then, so they're like, oh yeah, we totally support you with your music and all this stuff, and then as soon as grades come out and I have a C, they freak out.
Right.
Like, I have a C in math, even though they're so supportive of my music and they know that's what I want to do.
Right.
They get upset about my grades that I don't think affect me and what I'm going to do with my life.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you know, parents do that, you know, and that's kind of like a way that we can kind of, you know, modify your behaviors that way. You know, it's the reward system, Colin, right?
Right.
So, what do you play? What kind of instrument do you play?
I'm a songwriter. I play guitar.
Oh, that's nice. That's really good.
He's an excellent guitarist.
Is he good?
He's a very good guitarist.
Oh, that's nice. So you guys,
as well.
You guys are all friends and you hang out. So do you see some of your other friends doing, guys, all you together, self-destructive behaviors that are kind of crazy sometimes?
Our group of friends, not so much self-destructive.
Not so. We have our times when we have fun.
Yeah.
But we self-destructive, I would say, is
there's much worse.
Yeah.
As much self-destructive is not exactly the word I would use.
I believe there's like a difference between, you know, everything in moderation and occasionally, you know, doing something to alter your brain state, or, you know, there's a difference between that and then being self-destructive, which is somebody, you know,
drinking until like you are throwing up
or like. Wake and bake 24/7, you know.
Yeah.
Wake and bake.
Nice, guys. So if you were to give advice to your parents, guys, on how to deal with you, what would it be? Anybody?
Beat me.
What?
Beat me.
Nice. Okay, good. Will it work?
No, you're thinking about that.
All right, how about you, Michael?
I'd probably tell them, yeah. It's just so hard being a parent, you know, because kids are just the most difficult thing in the world.
Ooh, you're the one that wants to be a psychologist, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, good. You're on
exactly,
a good track.
Exactly, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Total genius over here.
You are a genius. You're smart.
So many kids are just like, my parents are terrible, but it's like, they do the best job they can. They love us. They're not trying to intentionally do something. So there really is no way to tell a parent how to be better. Only they would know the best way. And like, there are ways you wish they'd be better. Like, say, oh, I wish my parents would buy me this. Like, I wish they'd love that I play music more. I wish they'd be into the same music as me. But, mm-hmm. I mean, they don't ask you to like their music. You know,
that's true.
They don't tell you to my treat them does. Differently.
Your dad does? What kind of music did your dad
but
want?
But then again, it's okay. It's okay, though, because like, he introduced me like Bob Dylan and stuff. And
oh, that's
stuff,
cool.
So, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad he wanted me to like his music, or I would have a very small range of music.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Minimal. So, Dave, what would you tell your parents?
I'd probably be like, you know, if I come home past curfew, or if I, you know, come home and, like, you think you smell something on me, or, you know, mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay, one, first of all, it's curfew, like, it's not a big deal, I came home, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't get pulled over, it's not a big deal. And...
Go ahead.
It's true.
This is interesting.
No, okay. And I, you know, and... By yelling at me and telling me that I did wrong, the only thing that's gonna drive me to do is like
do it again.
Not necessarily do it again, but like not care as much. Just be like, oh, okay, I don't care. Because like, there's if you're gonna yell at me for coming in past curfew, then I can't.
Doesn't it kind of depend on how late you come in past curfew?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it'd be understandable if it was like. If I said I'd be home at 11 and I come home at 3 in the morning and, like, I don't answer my phones or whatever, then, like, yeah, obviously that's understandable.
But if you, like, call ahead of time, say,
right,
Mom, you know, I'll be home at 11:25.
Do you do that? Do you do that?
Yeah, I call if I'm going to be late.
All right. You know,
and sometimes, so I've seen him call. Sometimes I just show
that's
up.
Good.
Sometimes I'll show up, like, half an hour late or whatever. But, like, it's, you know, it's a half an hour. It's not a big deal, you know, spending the extra... 15 minutes wherever I was, and the extra 15 in traffic isn't gonna, you know, make a big difference. And
so you tell your parents not to lie to you, or not to yell at you.
Yeah, and another thing, it's like, if I, you know, if I'm, like, at a party or something, and, you know, I drank a little or something, you know.
Wow, that's cool. It's the ice cream man's here. Colin, run out and get an ice cream
for us. Yeah, that's my doorbell. I don't know who it is.
Oh,
but.
Wow, that's cool. If you got a jam, that's fine. We'll keep you on the line here. Go ahead, guys.
I was just gonna say, like, you know, I'm not. If I were to have a sip of alcohol or drink a little, you know, it's not like I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this because I don't like you guys. I'm trying to rebel. It's you know, we in high school, junior year especially. There's so much stress. There's so many things that we need to do that. You know, this teachers put stress on us, parents put stress on us, then we have our social lives, and we have hormones, and our emotions are just going up and down.
It's the hardest thing.
And all this stuff, and it's like, you know, every once in a while isn't going to kill anyone, and, you know, if you come home, you smell like it. Not if you're driving.
It did Michael's friend.
But not if you're driving. But, like, let's say you're at a party, and, like, I'll call my parents or whatever and be like, guys, you know, I had a sip of alcohol. Can you come pick me up or whatever? Don't be like, oh, my God. Just be like, all right, fine. Thanks for calling, you know. And then just leave it at that. Just be like, I don't want this to happen often. Because
that's also one of those things. Like, think about it. Like, if you're one of the parents who, like, okay, like, can you come pick me up? Mm-hmm. And they start yelling at you for drinking. Mm-hmm. You're not going to want them to pick you up anymore. So you might make a decision to, like, because, like, it's worse consequences to drive home drunk.
Right.
Instead of them being like, oh, yeah, okay, we understand.
Right.
Or like, I'm going to yell at you, so I might as well not call you guys and travel. I'm drunk.
Ah, okay. So what you're saying is...
That never ends up fun.
When your parents say, you know, kind of, we really would appreciate you to be honest with us, and then when you're honest with them, then they really bust you, but and they get really more angry with you when you're honest with them.
Yeah,
but that's what we do.
Honest.
Huh?
It's like, why would we want to be honest
that's
again?
Right.
It's really ironic. It, like, contradicts itself, you know?
It does.
You try to be honest, but... once you're doing the right thing by being honest, your parents turn around and slap you or take something away from you.
But you guys get that because parents are having the worst case scenarios in their brain, like your friend Michael, that they're freaking out, going, "Oh my God, you're not! I don't want you to drinking in the parties, and you're going to be getting in the car and doing that crazy stuff." So you get that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But if we call you and we're like, "Okay, we're not driving home. We did this. Can you pick us up?" And you're still, on us, like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you do this. You know, my little boy isn't going to go to college because he had a sip of alcohol." It's like, no.
Michael?
Yes?
I used to be very... my oldest sister went through rehab when I was still very young.
Oh,
I was
about
8, and she was just, in that whole scene.
Yeah, yeah.
It was pretty destructive to me, and it always had me worried. And once we got to high school, I was, I felt myself as the father figure amongst my friends.
I'd
constantly be berating them about drinking and drugs and,
if
I had this rule that if I'd found out they'd done drugs, I wouldn't allow them to my house for a month. I'd suspend them from my house.
That's
and
great.
I take full responsibility for Michael's self-destructive behavior.
Oh, you do? All right, I'm going to write this down, Colin. I'm tracing your number. No, I'm kidding. So what was your sister addicted to?
My sister was addicted to cocaine and drinking, and she basically was an alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah.
And she went through AA. She went through all that.
Good.
And, just going to her meetings and, hearing the stories of people who were there, just how much it messed them up.
Right.
And just scared me. And, I love my friends, and I'd never want to have to see them go through that. And
right. How's she doing now?
Now she's fine.
Good.
I believe she was 3 years sober. She didn't relapse. She made the decision to go off AA just because it was so time consuming. But
it is.
She's no longer an alcoholic, and she's doing well for herself in the world.
Well, they say you're always an alcoholic, always. But
you see
but
the shirt
she's
I'm wearing?
Not.
Do you sell?
Yeah,
that's the store she works at.
That's great.
Really
little
sorry.
Advertisement there, sis. Hope you're listening. But no, I'm really happy for her. I'm really proud of her. Did you guys go to Al-Anon meetings, family support stuff?
Yes.
Those are awesome. So you can understand, what your addicted family members going through and how, the family relates to it and all that. Those are great meetings, by the way. I didn't mean to get heavy on you. But thanks for sharing that, intimate information with us, Mike. It's really helpful. So you guys were talking about stressing out. So what are some of the things you guys really stress out about in your life?
School.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just one huge thing from parents about what you said earlier about what advice would you give parents?
What the cool kids think.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't
Colin's a cool kid. But,
you are cool, Colin.
Like, we'll say me, David, and Colin. We're all three extremely intelligent kids, each in our own perspective.
I love you, Michael.
Yeah, David said things before that you'd just be so shocked to come out of a kid's mouth. You'd
really?
Think it was a philosopher. And
really?
It would be written in a book somewhere. And
you're beautiful.
Colin just has insight on some situations that no one else could have. And everyone's intelligent in their own way. And I don't think parents know that because they don't spend the type of time with us that we would with our friends.
Right.
And my mommy says I'm
so that's just the reason why.
Your mom what, Colin?
My mommy says I'm a genius.
Wow. I like this, guys. Family. This is awesome. Go ahead, Michael.
I don't think parents respect kids as much as they should. Like, especially 16-year-olds, they think this is a 16-year-old. He's a rebellious little teen. He knows nothing. Why should I give them respect? And, I've had this argument with my parents before. And I have this philosophy that it's what you learned in first grade. Respect is given where respect is deserved.
Right. No, that's great. That's really great. So you're saying that...
And I feel like that philosophy applies to parents and children, too.
Parents should really kind of get to know who their teenagers are a little bit. Get to kind of spend some time. See, this is the big thing that I emphasize all the time, spending more time together. And, you were telling me earlier, David, about, you said you went out with your friends this weekend, and then you told me... that you came home and told your mom. She said, "What did you do?" She was kind of accusatory, and you said we meditated. And she said, "Yeah, right, on drugs."
He meditates.
He does for real.
For
he
real.
Really does. You really do meditate.
I do meditate.
I even know what
sober.
Song he meditates.
Sober. No. I mean,
completely sober. If you meditate under an influence, what it does is it spiritually throws off your vibrations.
Wow, this guy's good.
Everything is a manifestation. Everything's a vibration. And
right.
When you're under an influence, you're not in the now. You're not in the sober. In what it's in your conscious state, in which you can meditate in. So
yeah.
But no, and I have done that. And then for an example, last weekend also I did come home and my mom was like, "David, you smell. You smell like smoke. Have you been smoking?" And I told her straight.
All day, every day.
What? What did he say?
All day.
That was my brother.
Oh, okay. I'm managing your microphone. If there's any bizarre and odd sounds back there.
No, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to live with morons. It's okay.
Colin, which one of your brothers is there?
That's Austin. My brother, Austin.
Right. Okay. No, and then like, and I was like, Mom's like, "Have you been smoking?" And I'm like, I'm like, "Yeah, I smoked a cigarette." You know.
Uh-oh.
Big deal. And then. She was like, okay, well, you know, this, and like, she took it a lot, you know, better than, you know, another, you know, I've seen other parents, like, I know of other parents that.
Oh, I want to be here right now if my mom.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
you're not smoking cigarettes, though.
No, I'm not smoking cigarettes.
So you did it just as a lark, just kind of a, just to do it?
Like, this goes back with the, you know, the whole stress thing at school and mm-hmm, stress with the mm-hmm. parents, you know, like, if it's there and stress, you know, emotionally, like, if it's there. You know, sure, you know, I'll have a cigarette or, you know, I'll take a drag or so. It's not like, ooh, I can't wait to get a cigarette, you know. It's not like, oh, every day I'm going to go smoke a cigarette or every other day. It's like, if you're with friends with cigarettes, sure, why not? You know, it relaxes you and it takes your mind off things for...
It also gives you lung cancer, too. How's that?
It's true, but, you know...
See, don't I sound like one of your parents?
You sound exactly like one of your parents.
But that's right. See, that's all we're about. We're about, and psychologists too, we're about making you healthier and thinking about things and stuff like that.
But you got to think, you know, if one cigarette for the moment makes you mentally healthier than if you have all this stuff on your mind, then, you know, one cigarette's not going to give you lung cancer. One cigarette every other week isn't going to give you lung cancer. It's not going to, you know, get you addicted. It's not going to kill you, you know? If it, you know, relaxes you or whatever, then it's not like your kids are going to grow up to be, you know, they're not going to get addicted.
They could.
Of course they could, but that's their choice, you know? And then if that's their choice, then let it be what it is.
Well,
but
that's the argument, is whether parents should give their kids free choice. Because, you know, you say, whatever, it's their choice, it's their life, but, you know, I want all my kids to be addicted to cigarettes.
Right,
that's,
exactly.
That's true, but then again, you've got
to think
it's,
where the parents are coming from.
It's your kid's life. It's your kid's soul. It's his life. It's, you know, God gave... him, his body, to do with what he pleases.
Yeah,
she pleases.
But you have to realize that what you do to your body can affect others, and is that fair?
Touche.
See, Michael's right. No, he's right on, and that's the thing.
Let's say you did get lung cancer. God forbid, I'd be a wreck. But
yeah,
you know how would that affect your mom finding out that you had lung cancer?
That would be absolutely terrible. But then again. I wouldn't, I know my limits, I would never push myself to the point where it's like, oh, I'm addicted to cigarettes, you know, if I started smoking more cigarettes, I'd be like, and I started craving a cigarette, or if I was thinking to myself, I want a cigarette, that's when I could mentally tell myself, all right, shut up, you know, you don't need to do this, it's not cool, you know, just stop.
Uh-huh, exactly. No, I hear both of you, you both have a point. What I tell parents sometimes is to pick your battles. But, I mean, you know, we do want to have – you guys are so independent, and you have your own lives and your own friends and your own stuff you get into and the ladies you hang out with and your buds and all that stuff, but buddies. But, I mean, you know, it's like parents are always about how you're going to be healthier in your mind and your body. Cool. And, you know, that's what they're about. And they're going to judge and they're going to be worried and they're going to – you guys still doing sign language with each other. Come on.
Trying to
share. Anyway.
You really want me?
Let's get to the fun stuff.
What's fun?
I get emails and I get calls.
A caller.
Yeah, we should. You want to take another caller?
Yeah,
Colin, are you having a good time?
I'm having a great time, but I understand that I must go because I have work soon.
Okay. Where do you work?
I work at a movie theater.
Oh, cool.
It's a blast.
Cool. Colin, you're a working man.
Slave.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for calling in LA Talk Radio. Thanks for being on the couch with Dr. Michelle.
Thanks for having me, and thank you, Michael and David. I'd like to make a shout-out to Patrick Stewart, Austin Perry, and Gil Jacobs, my close friend.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You're beautiful. Yeah.
That's really cool. Nice guy. Nice guy. So he's your bud.
Yeah.
He's a friend of both of you. That's great that he got to call in and stuff. All right. I do get a lot of emails from people who have issues. After all, I help people with relationships and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I, from time to time, ask people to respond to questions that I have on the air. And I have a scenario about what are the weirdest dates you've ever been on? What are some of the worst, weirdest dates that you've ever been on? So do you want to tell me about your weirdest dates? Yeah, they're both doing sign language again and laughing. Or do you want me to share with you this weird date that this guy had, we can warm up a little bit, and maybe you can give him some advice.
It's up to you.
You want
to
do that?
I'd like to help someone out.
Okay, let's help somebody out.
I
want
to be a therapist.
Okay,
girl.
Good.
Get
do
some
you,
practice.
You are. You do want to be a psychologist,
I
don't
do.
You?
I'd love to be.
Well, you're good. You're very analytical, and yet you're warm and fuzzy. So let's go. Okay, we got a call. We got a call in earlier from, who is this? Sean. Dear Dr. Michelle, a friend of mine set me up on a blind date with this girl who just got dumped by his girlfriend. By
her girlfriend.
Her girlfriend. Hopefully. That's really interesting. Wow. Well, that's okay, too. I mean, we're cool here. I'm just trying to read this guy's thing. Of course, my friend forgot to tell me this. So me and this cute lady were in a Mexican restaurant having dinner when she started talking about her ex. Ooh. Then she started crying uncontrollably, making a scene with her whimpering and sobs. People were looking at me, and they were looking at her like I was the one who made her cry in this restaurant. She had the nerve to text me after we went home and call me to get together for a second date.
Story of my life.
And I really? And I said no, in a nice way, of course. Okay, what would you guys have done if you went out on a first date with this lady and she was talking about her ex and then she started crying in public and then...
I'll let David take this one.
Okay, what would you do?
Expert on women.
You have a reputation as a ladies' man, do you?
Oh, he does.
Oh, really? Okay. So what would you... how would you...
No, I don't.
How would you have handled this date? How would you have taken care of this?
Well...
What would you have done in the situation if you were sitting there with a girl who's crying?
First, I would have held her and I would have been like... You know, sweetie, is everything all right? You know, and I, you know, and then
if yeah, she this started, is a first
it's your
date
first
though.
Date with the woman. You're
you would have held her?
No. Just like not like hold her. Like, oh my god. Just like you
I told
know,
you he's a ladies' man.
Like put my arm around her. Be like, you know, hey, is everything all right? You know,
uh-huh.
Do you want to talk? And if she starts talking about a boyfriend or whatever, I'd be like, all right, you know, and I'd just like let it happen, and then I'd kind of think, and then if she kept going on about it, I'd be like, you know. You know, I hate to be like a dick here, but you know, you're kind of, you know, I'm here and like, you know,
she's crying loudly in the restaurant.
Say like, forget about the past, like live in the
yeah,
now.
Just exactly. Yeah. And then I'd probably stop and give her advice, and then I, you know, and if she didn't want to listen, then whatever. I'd be like, okay, cool, whatevs, and then
yeah,
she did, you know, and I'd try to throw like some comedy in there just to get her to laugh, and then stop the crying, you know.
Uh huh.
Like
wow.
If she like starts crying, I might be like, bad salsa or something, you know, yeah. Just like some, yeah. Some yeah. For the lulls, but you know.
Well, that's interesting. Let's see who we got on the line. We got another caller here live on the air. LATalkRadio.com. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Danny.
Hey, how you doing?
D-Lou.
I'm great.
Oh, so you know these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Denny?
I do.
Danny.
Yeah.
Danny, nice to have you with us. So you know.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, cool. So you know Michael and David.
I do.
Cool.
I'm very good friends with them.
Oh, that's great. It's not. God, thank you guys for getting listeners here on the air.
Yeah.
For me, I like it. I have to beg for listeners sometimes, but anyway, it's nice to have you with us. So, what's going on with you?
You know, the usual. You know, stress, school, girls.
Yeah. So, what's the weirdest date you? I'm just going to put you on the spot right here. We're talking about the weirdest dates.
Okay.
I get emails from people who you know. Say, oh, what do I do? Do I want to see this person again? I had this really weird, awkward date. Did you hear the one I was just talking about on the air?
Was it the Mexican restaurant?
Yeah, they were in a Mexican restaurant. This girl was talking about her ex. It was the first date. She started crying, and this guy's like, yeah. And he got out of the restaurant. She started texting him and saying, can we go out again? And he just said, no way. Really nice. So,
right.
Would you have done that too?
Well, recently, actually, had a similar situation.
No way! Tell us about it. This is good.
Yeah, it was a little traumatic for me,
yeah.
A little bit. I was with this girl, no names mentioned,
okay.
And she had just broken up with her boyfriend. I thought everything was going fine,
mm-hmm.
And like her boyfriend is crazy, but her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we were hanging out yesterday. Mm-hmm. And she comes out to me, she's like, you know, we had sex.
Yeah.
And I was like,
she's telling you about
are
this.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like.
So you really like
you know,
her. You really like her a lot.
Yeah, you know, I did.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, you know, I deserve better.
Yeah. Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
So why is she giving you this information to make you jealous, or is she giving you this information just to you know share with you and be open with you and let you know that she's, I don't know. Why do you think she told you this?
Well, I think like she was definitely hesitant about telling me because
mm-hmm.
this happened about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah.
So you didn't... Go ahead.
I don't know why she chose the time to tell me.
Yeah.
You know, I had asked her to our homecoming dance.
Yeah.
But maybe that was the reason.
Aww.
So she thought it would be more fair to me.
Yeah, yeah. That's... Gosh. So are you going to go with her?
I'm not. Yeah.
Oh.
Like, I've...
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ow.
That's a man, D-Lou. Stay strong.
No, she likes you.
Yeah, I figure, you know, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve to be lied to.
Well, wow.
Right. Well, she put herself out there for you, and you... Yeah, I don't know. That's
and
what you mean.
Danny Lewis, you're... I know you. You're one of my very good friends, one of my best friends, and you know you're a good kid. I love you to death. You don't deserve to be lied to and all that stuff.
No, I think that's great that you're strong and you're making that decision. So, are you going to ask somebody else to the dance?
You know, I don't think I am.
Okay.
You know, there's only a week or so left before.
Yeah.
That
it's
day.
A week away.
So.
It's a week away, huh? Well, you know what? I like your attitude. I think you're a really cool guy. That's really a, you know, that's a really bold statement and decision to make.
Danny.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So
you got it.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Dave.
You got to let all the girls know that you're able to lay your pimp hand on Jesus himself.
Oh, God. I just, you know,
well,
I love
it. I actually had a question.
Yeah, go ahead. See how he's ignoring that, Dave? Go ahead. Go ahead, Danny.
How should I handle, you know, the rest of the situation? Like, what should I do about this certain female? Like,
yeah.
Should I cut off all ties with her? Or, you know, try to be friends?
What is your gut telling you?
My gut's telling me, you know, cut off ties.
Yeah. I would follow your gut. And I would be really honest. I mean, the whole thing with relationships, you know, Danny, is honesty. And
mm-hmm.
It sounds like she was way too honest. But I mean, no. I mean, that the whole thing about relationships, and I think one of the most common problems with couples and relationships is they don't know how to lay it out and be really honest with each other in a tactful way. And so there's no misunderstanding. So everybody knows, you know, what we're thinking and what we're feeling. And, you know, with, yeah, and I mean, you know, good communication with no name calling, you know, you're a crazy, you know, but just like, you know, when you told me that, it kind of freaked me out. And I'm feeling that I don't need somebody like this because I'm in a place where, and so I'm just kind of feeling I want to just kind of play it alone for now. And, you know, I think that's a good decision. If that's what your gut is feeling and that's, you know, I'm all for it. I think that's a great, you solved your own problem. But my thing is total honesty because that's how we know what we're thinking. I mean, you know, tactful, you know, and, I think you're in good shape. I think that's the way to go.
Good kid.
Good kid.
He's amazing. You're an amazing person. You're brilliant. You have a brilliant mind and you're beautiful.
Well, that's nice to know.
Beautiful.
You guys are great. I love your
Danny and I
for
play
each
music
other.
Together.
Do you?
So.
They do.
Oh, that's awesome.
They're great.
That's really nice. Well, Danny, so what? Anything else? Any other questions or anything else you want to add here?
I have like another. I have another friend, and you know, like he just has troubles.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, troubles with the ladies. You know, He was in a situation where he was with this girl at the beach. You know, she leaned in for a kiss, and he sat down.
Yeah, yeah.
And
she leaned
in? I just want to...
Yeah.
Yeah, that really happened.
Okay.
And I just want to be able to help him, you know?
Yeah.
Help him unlock his true self and help him be a confident youngster.
Yeah. So he felt really rejected?
Did he get rejected?
I mean, did he feel really rejected by her? I'm kind of
She leaned in for the kiss. He was the one who sat down.
So was he not into her?
I think that's just bad luck.
Bad luck?
That's just bad luck.
It was just bad timing.
No, I think that he's just... he doesn't know how to... he's embarrassed. He doesn't know how to talk.
Well, we're not all as good as you.
Well,
right.
We're not all as slick as you,
yeah,
Mr. Dave.
I'm just saying. Like,
no. Okay, I'm just trying to get the gist here. So what you're saying is he felt really awkward because she kind of leaned in and he was kind of uncomfortable with it because he didn't kind of know what to do?
I'm going to say I don't believe that story because girls don't go in for it.
I'm going to tell you I was there.
Okay.
Girls don't lean in. Girls will never make the move.
They do lean in.
I don't care what country. I don't
no,
care.
No, it was a true story.
Really? Wow. So you're telling me is did the guy kind of regret it that he didn't take advantage of it?
No, he. I'm sorry, Danny. Go.
No. Go ahead. I'm just trying to get the feeling.
No. David Ensis.
No. I was. I think because I kind of know the story. He played it off like he didn't know that she was leaning in.
That's because he didn't want to kiss her, or he's not interested, or
no.
He...
I think he's just.
It was just an awkward, uncomfortable feeling. He didn't kind of know how to deal with it.
Maybe.
I'm really getting a lot of information from you guys here, and I thank you so much. Not. No. So okay. When I'm. This is no. So you're. Why don't you kind of rephrase the question to me, like. What should the guy do in order to talk to this girl, or is that the question, Danny?
The question is, how do I or us, as we're all friends,
yeah.
help this person
right.
to be himself? You know, it seems like he restricts
yeah.
himself a
yeah.
lot of the time.
Yeah.
And, just holding him back from, becoming a better person.
Sure. The thing is that do you think there may be like kind of a little bit self-esteem, issue going on with this guy, this friend of yours?
Yes.
Self-esteem. And you got to talk to your friend and kind of ask him to take a look at some of the messages that he may have gotten maybe from other people or his parents or something, or where is he getting some of these thoughts that are really not good about himself? Maybe he has...
From himself.
So you think he may be having issues with how he looks, or he's not cute enough, or he's not funny enough, or he's not sharp enough?
Oh, he's sexy.
He's sexy? Okay.
He's an attractive man.
He feels very inadequate in all his activities. Like, he plays a sport.
Right.
He feels always very... And he's good, but
yeah.
he just feels very inadequate, and that actually affects his performance.
Because
so.
His life is the sport.
Yeah.
Well, are other kids, like, making fun of him, or is his coaches yelling at him?
It's
or?
All him. He trains harder than anyone I know.
Okay.
He's a professional trainer. He's an Olympic athlete.
Wow.
And he feels inadequate at everything he does. He plays an instrument.
Wow.
And he's okay at that, but he really talks himself down and it actually affects him.
Right, exactly. Well, what I would do is I would try to have this person really write down. Here's a good lesson. Here's a good idea that I share with a lot of people who I work with.
I have my pen and paper ready.
Okay, baby, I'm ready. I have him draw and or write down all of the great things about himself. All by himself, no ego, no issue, no BS. Just write down everything you feel that is really good about you. Honest, with nobody looking over your shoulder, nobody, really, I'm a good-looking guy. Really, have them be really honest. I'm a pretty good athlete. Girls think I'm cute. I'm pretty good in this subject. I'm a pretty good musician. I can do this, or I can, what I'm saying? You write it, have him write down all the good things that he thinks he is, right? Just the good things. Just focus on the good things. No bad things. In other words, have a whole list. Also, you can go online and you can find, you can just Google positive affirmations, they're called. And they're things that you say to yourself every day. So have him put up in front of his mirror, in front of his face, these good things that he puts down about himself, that are saying, I am a really good athlete. I am a pretty good looking guy. I am, socially okay. I am a good student. I am all the good things in front of his face, almost in every room that he would feel okay about. The bathroom he uses, put it on the mirror. In his bedroom, put it on the wall. Put it wherever he can see it and reinforce it in front of his face every day, because it's about changing your thinking and positive thought. So if you're training your brain to think these things every day, when those and you keep to that, better vibration, when you start getting the negatives and you start getting self-conscious, these things will the negative things will start going away. It's called, just changing the neurotransmitters, changing the thoughts. And so
exactly.
So if he can, you know, start. You guys all pump him up, though. You say, "Oh, you, come on, you're great. You're a good person." And
I wouldn't say we do.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah, of course. He doesn't believe it for some reason, but he needs really strong support system from you all. That's what he needs. So you know, that's just a suggestion that I give. It's a quick and dirty. I mean, we go into a little longer therapy here if I could, you know, really help him out, Danny. But I think that, you know, he just needs more reinforcement. He needs to really believe how good he is. And being himself for just who he is. He's a good guy. You guys know him as himself, right?
Yeah.
He's hanging out with you guys. Yeah. But he has to be somebody else, or he has to put on something else in front of girls. But, you know, you guys have to stress to him that it's really okay for him to be totally who he is. Because girls will really attract to him, not only physically, but they're going to really, you know, girls who are really worth it, okay, quality women, are going to like you for who you are. How's that?
Yeah,
that's the truth.
You know, and if some girl likes you for you being somebody you're not or phony, that's not really the person you want to hook up with or be with, you know what I'm saying. How's that?
Yeah.
Does that help?
That's good.
All right. So you guys all have... Huh?
That helps a lot.
Good. So you guys have to work on this friend of yours. Hey, you know what, Danny? We're going to have to get out of here real fast because we're running out of time here. But thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you on the air, and thank you so much for calling in. You know, Dave and Michael are lucky to have a friend like you. All right. Take good care.
Bye. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. I had all these other questions I was going to ask you, and we were going to get to a lot of really crazy stuff, and I was going to have you help out more listeners. But we're getting kind of close to the end, and T.J. McCormick is here with his fabulous self to continue on L.A. Talk Radio. So, guys, thank you so much for being the guest of my show today.
Absolutely.
It's been really awesome. We've had Michael, and we've had David, and this is Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. You can find me, by the way, at AOL, and I'm DocMichelle@AOL.com. Doc Michelle, that's DOC. My website, you can find me at DrMichelleTherapy.com. Keep it here on LATalkRadio.com for the best entertaining talk radio on the internet and anywhere, by the way. We're number one in Google, by the way, when you put in talk radio. It's kind of nice. All right. Have a great week. Don't forget to do take care of yourself. You're okay with who you are. Thanks for being on the couch with Dr. Michelle. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Got you on my mind again tonight.